You're not gonna try and fight me after this, are you?
For this? Shouldn't you? Oh yeah, I'll try to drink this light. I'll be fighting everybody.
I'll have to pull your shirt over your head and box your ears.
Box your ears. That's what we do. That's what dads do to their sons in England. Box their ears. And then they give them a dicky back ride.
Wait, maybe that was just my dad.
Put that in the end quotes, like about how Charlie's dad used to give him a dicky back ride. Like.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. This is day 4 of Team Cult of Mac in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show. Oh, by the way, I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I'm here with some of the culty men, culty fresh men. To my right, I have the very regal-looking El Caney. He's wearing the same kind of hat as Samuel L. Jackson always wears. You should wear that backwards. Is that a Kangol hat?
No, that looked like George Jackson, right? That's the guy on all the billboards around here.
that's how Samuel L. Jackson wears them, too. Next to Leander, we have Beardster Heine. We've got Charlie Sorrell next to Buster, and then John is John Brownlee, wrapping up the end of the table. Not just true. John. You have a last name, too. And if you have been following our adventures, this is our last co-class that we're going to do from the show. And tomorrow we will not have a show, so don't be expecting that. This is the fourth one we put out in 1 week, so I hope people aren't tired of us yet.
But tomorrow's Thursday. You have to have a show on Thursday.
Well, maybe I'll just release this show late enough so that it comes out on Thursday.
That's looking likely.
Yeah, right. And actually, what people don't know is we've been going to these press events and getting back really late and then recording the cult cast at like 11, 12 p.m.
After a few drinks. Why didn't you, 11, 12 why don't you cut together a best of? You know, like take the best moments from the last four shows.
I don't like that.
There's
idea.
There's so many assumptions in that sentence. Are there any best moments?
Well, that's so funny. Why just do like a reel of cracking up?
That'll actually, you know what? Somebody contacted me on Twitter. I don't remember who it was. No, they emailed me and they asked me if they could make a montage of our best of moments. And I was do it. I'm like, if you do it though, just send it to me. And then I never heard from him again. He probably started listening to it. And he was like, oh, wait, never mind. He listened to like 3 or 4 hours of the show, and he hasn't come up with a single best moment yet. So he's double checking just to make sure there's one in there. So this is going to be our last day. We're going to be talking about all of our favorite stuff that we've seen from the show thus far, our favorite tech. Our favorite gear, maybe funniest booths, funniest anything, really. But before we do that, John, you were going to tell us about the Qualcomm thing, right? Why are you rolling your eyes and stroking your mustache at me?
No.
Are you thinking of Gadget Girl?
It's just my way of
saying
flirting.
That you don't. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm surprised that you're not single.
Well, I yeah. So am I, trust me. So the Qualcomm keynote, if you haven't checked that out, there's a very funny super edit going around, or supercut. What are they called? Supercut?
Yeah, no, I'm good with either of those.
It was just sort of everything in a nutshell that is like so clueless and weird about CES. Like, if you want to know what it's like to attend CES, you should watch it, because it is just so bizarre and so tin-eared and like doesn't understand anything about its audience. Like, it starts off with these three guys, and they're two guys and a girl, and they're supposed to be part of the Generation M, or the mobile generation.
Mobile.
And they come on stage and they're like, one of them is a girl, and she's just like, I'm part of Generation M, and it's important for me to always be mobile because I'm so popular, and I've got, you know. And then this other guy comes out and he's just like, and I'm a gamer, like, you know, he's like, my name's Volcano Ponator 5000, and I got a girlfriend with like sweet boobs, and like, I'm always doing her, and I'm gonna pwn half the world. And then this other guy, who's like this like kind of like young Asian guy, he's supposed to be the entrepreneur, he comes out and he's like, I'm gonna go Gangnam Style all over you, you know, like my phone is my conference room, and like, he's like, bazinga, you know. And it was so,
and the part about this that people need to understand is the stuff that you're saying, like, you're not embellishing, like, this is the stuff they were actually
if
saying.
If anything, I'm underselling knowing how bad this was. Like, I mean, it's like, and it's like, hey, Tiny Dancer. And like, you know, it's just so weird. It was so weird. And then it just gets weirder. Like, it was so weird. It gets weirder. Like,
that's a great description of it. It was so weird. Yeah. What are you guys doing?
Like, at one point, Big Bird shows up, but he's with a Qualcomm executive who is dressed like in the like skinned pelt of like another Big Bird. Like, he's in the Bird Couture outfit. And then
it's like getting psychedelic now.
And then Guillermo del Toro shows up, who directed Blade 2 and what's that other one he did?
Pan's Labyrinth, right.
And he's like, they're like, let's see, you know, can you show us the power of Qualcomm? And he's like, yeah, sure. Here's this ultra gory scene from a movie I made, and there's like guts and exploding on screen, and like, and Big Bird follows this.
Right? Big Bird's like, I like that.
Yeah. And there's this like, and then they're like, Steve Ballmer shows up. Now, if you don't know, Steve Ballmer.
Oh, now it's getting good.
Steve Ballmer has been kind of the head keynote guy at CES for like 10 years. Like, and this is the first year that he isn't doing the major CES keynote. So what does he do? They make this big deal about how he's not going to do the keynote, and then he shows up to do another guy's keynote. Like, you know?
Can't stop Bomb Dog.
And he jogs onto the stage, and like, he literally, there's already a great animated GIF of it. Like, he literally like opens his mouth and does this like tongue waggle, like, and you know,
like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, and then
tongue waggle.
And then like at the end, they have Maroon 5, which is like the ultimate
the worst
like
band you could have on stage.
Ultimate, yeah, worst band, worst sellout band. And they do like some acoustic crap, but apparently in the live stream,
they cut it out.
Yeah. They replaced him. They didn't have the rights to broadcast Maroon 5's live music, so they replaced him, and he's singing on stage, but Dido is playing. And trust me, just find the super edit of this, watch it. It's unbelievably bad. Like, I can't do it justice. It's like, and this is what it's like to be here.
Well, like, they had a choir singing tweets and things like that.
That was last year.
They do weird shit every year.
Yeah. Don't swear.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Don't swear. That's cool, but don't swear.
We have soccer moms that watch this.
Yeah, we do have soccer moms. What was our soccer mom's name?
Cover your ears. Cover your children's
ears. Okay, yeah. Cover your children's ears. All right. No, we're good. All right, cool. So, thank you for telling that story, because I actually hadn't heard it.
John did a pretty good job of describing it too.
Thank you.
Well, when you're telling me a little bit of it in the car, like I said, like, you were like, "Yeah, my name's Dragon Force 5000," and I was like, "And I'm gonna go over with great boobs." And I was like, "There's no way."
And
he said that.
Also, there's no way. I'm looking at this guy. There's no way his girlfriend with great boobs. Like, he is an intolerable douchebag. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh gosh. All right, so show's wrapping up. The show actually goes till Friday, but since the press have been working since Sunday, pretty much everything is going to start winding down tonight. Tomorrow is going to be pretty empty.
Well,
Friday is going to be a ghost town.
Everyone gets really, really disgustingly drunk.
Really?
And then tomorrow's...
Well, I wouldn't want to disappoint anyone.
Yeah, tomorrow's
right. Their sharding stories. Yeah. And, you know, like...
Yeah, well, fun story. Last year, we went to the Wired party. And we got that picture. What was it, like the Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah,
they had Cirque du Soleil photo booth. And that's now the photo that we're using in our Cultcast logo.
Is it? I haven't even seen it on iTunes yet.
We haven't changed it on iTunes.
It's a good
iTunes
photo for me, because I've gained like 60 pounds since then. So, you know, it's not.
So you're looking real svelte in that picture. Yeah. Everyone's like, dude, he's slender.
That was sexy John. Now
Well, actually, we're...
Now it's Jabba John.
We went somewhere else, too. We went to another bar.
We went to Lenovo.
But, okay, well, maybe we can talk about these later after the show. Let's talk about tech. So I wanted to know what your guys' like maybe favorite tech of the show was. Maybe favorite booth you can choose. What your favorite thing was. We obviously don't have time to go through everyone's favorite everything. Even though Leander would probably prefer that, because he likes it when the shows go long. So Leander, why don't we actually start with you?
Awesome, great. So actually,
don't be sarcastic.
When we were doing that, I was really racking my brain for something to talk about. And I think I'm going to say the Dora the Explorer party.
Yeah.
Party.
Can you describe that to our audience, please?
Party.
Potty. Like a toilet.
Oh, that thing was amazing.
Do you use it?
No, but I want to get one
for
my nephews.
Yeah, I'm going to get one, though. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Can you describe what it was so that our listeners actually know what you're talking about?
It's a plastic potty for toilet training, you know, young toddlers, and it has a built-in iPad.
I guess Dora, or it must be an iPad stand or something.
It says, yeah. Squeeze, baby, squeeze.
You could say it's the crappiest iPad case out there.
The big question is like... Is what is she exploring in this scenario? Like, you know, in a potty training scenario, like, you know, exactly what voyages is she going on? Like, you know, wriggling down your colon or like, I don't know.
It's dark in here. Let me out.
Well, I saw
have you ever seen Joe Love the art?
I've trained four kids, so, you know, but the highest.
And by you mean your wife.
Still, you know, they like to take, it's got to get them to sit there until they're ready to.
Well, I wonder if the case, I mean, or the case, I keep calling it the case.
No, it's like it's like a toilet with an iPad, like,
but
on it.
But it has to have some kind of integration with the iPad,
probably,
right?
Bluetooth.
So, but I mean, like. Like, when you sit down, Dora's like, good job! And then when they hear the first turd come out, it's like, great work! Like, otherwise, it would just be an iPad sitting there, right?
That's a good point. I don't think it does have any Android TV. I think it just plays Dora the Explorer cartoon.
So it just makes them want to go on and sit on it.
Well, yeah, right. Just, you know, the kid just goes into, like, a trance, and then they sit there until they shit themselves, and then it's good job done. Sorry.
Yeah, gosh.
I'm just going to mark this episode explicit, but don't use any more F-bombs or anything like that.
Did I use an F-bomb?
No, you didn't.
All right.
But I'm future thinking.
Okay.
Don't use any more.
Yeah.
Because I know one's going to slip out eventually. You can barely restrain yourself.
Yeah.
Buster, you want to go next?
No, pass.
Charlie?
What was best at the show?
And your favorite thing at the show, yeah.
My favorite thing at the show.
It could be best booth, best tech, best anything, really.
Best sandwich?
No.
There haven't been any good sandwiches.
No.
No.
They've been horrible.
That's why. This is an audio podcast, remember?
I know, yeah, sorry.
They can't hear when you're thinking.
It's a podcast.
That'll be great.
Wouldn't that be the most boring podcast ever? It's just like mental telepathy, and it's just like silence for like 30 minutes.
Well, I don't know. If you get the pictures, it'd be great.
And it's like if you can't understand what they're communicating to you, then it's your problem.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Charlie? I'm vamping here for you. Come on,
yeah, I know you are. I'm trying to think of something that was that.
All right.
That
see, that's
good.
My problem is.
Okay, well then I'll go. You guys can think.
There's a bunch of stuff that's, you know, okay,
but nothing that's like, oh
there's,
my.
Yeah, there's
gosh.
No big thing. There's no big.
Well, thing. Well, I didn't even see a really cool booth display. Like
I just said overall, I think the best thing was that the booths were bigger. They were there was more stuff to show. Especially in the eye lounge. The eye lounge is really ballooning up. And
the eye lounge is huge.
This is great for our industry. It's like absolutely fantastic. I'm totally delighted to see it like taken off.
Well, I mean, but there's but like it doesn't seem like you know. It seems to me like the signal to noise ratio is like really going down this year. So I mean, it can be great, and it's great for our, I guess for our industry, but for us as writers, you know, wandering the show floor, like it was much harder. You know.
Well, that's always been the problem. It's always been a whole bunch of you know tat and rubbish, and. You know, that's always been the problem, and the writers always complain about it. And that's why, you know, Matt Honan and M.G. Siegler were complaining about, you know, CS is so over. But they say that every year.
Yeah, no, it's tedious.
And it's like, it is tedious. It's eye-rollingly tedious. But I think the exact opposite is true. I think that the, you know, the sort of mobile, it's becoming a big mobile show. Everything we saw was mobile, right? You know, it interacted with your iPod, your iPhone. There's a huge sea change in the computing industry, and it's gone away from the old players. You know, the old Microsoft is no longer here. You know, Microsoft doesn't have any relevancy to the show. But you look at the iLounge, there's a whole bunch of brand new players. And it was like the same transition they used to complain about at Macworld, like when Macworld became the sort of iPhone case show. Well, that was just only because, you know, the money was in iPhone cases. Those guys would make those things for cents and they sell them for hundreds of dollars. You know, like because there are millions and millions of people that are buying these things. And it's like we're seeing a big industry mushrooming. And I think it's like it's super exciting because we're right in the heart of it. It's awesome.
What you're saying about Macworld, I think, is particularly true. You know, like you know, when Apple pulled out, it was kind of similar to when Microsoft pulled out of CES. I can turn that into a joke, but I won't. I'll let the audience do that. And,
right.
Well, Steve Ballmer pulled out of CES. And you know, there's kind of a big hole to fill there. Insert your own joke there. But, you know, just like, I'm going to give you an example. Like, in the rainforest, when a big tree falls, it takes a couple years, but all of a sudden everything fills in to grab that light. You like that? No, yeah. You don't like that so much. So that's okay. So I think
fill
that...
Fill the light?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. When a big tree falls, it's like there's nothing there, and then all of a sudden everything kind of moves in.
Yeah, and can anybody even hear it?
What? Yeah, but
that's yeah. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, now we're getting really esoteric. So I guess my only point is that this year might be kind of lulls, you know, because Microsoft left last year and they took a lot of money with them. I think Microsoft was pumping money into this whole thing. I could be wrong, but I think next year and the year after, there's going to be a lot of vendors that step up to fill that role.
I agree with you that, you know, everything's on the rise and we're not looking at the death of CES, but I think that there's definitely a vacuum here this year. Like,
I agree.
You know, Apple clearly isn't handing out like Lightning certifications the way they are, so there's that vacuum where everybody's showing all iPhone 4S 30-pin stuff still.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have Microsoft here, who's also pulled out, and as I may have just, you know, conveyed to you, Qualcomm's not quite fitting the keynote.
Yeah, you got high senses in the, where the Microsoft booth used to be. It's like, you know, you have weird companies that aren't that big.
But there's a big, you know, the fact that Obama showed up at the Qualcomm conference rather than the Intel conference is a huge indicator of what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, all I'm saying is that I think this is like a transition year. Like, I think that next year will be
really exciting. Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
And this year is the one where I think this year at what we're seeing at CES is going to make a lot more sense. But like a year from now, like we'll be able to put a lot of this stuff in better context. I mean, you know, Intel's doing a lot of weird stuff where they're trying to make every PC into a tablet. Like, clearly they're going somewhere with that. And like and likewise, because I see that they're doing that, I understand what they were doing last year, which with Ultrabooks, where they were showing like accelerometer Ultrabooks and stuff like that. You know. I don't know. I think this is an in between year, but I think next year we're all gonna be able to agree what this year meant. You know.
Yeah, there's not really a unified theme for this year. I think last year was 3D TVs.
It's in the transition between the old PC industry and the new mobile industry.
Yeah.
And all the players are changing. You know, like Dell's. You know, Dell. Does anyone see any Dell?
No, I don't think Dell's even here.
No, they're exactly. Not.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever were, but the PC players are no longer the big players. It's like Samsung. It's like Qualcomm, it's, you know,
LG,
right, exactly,
Panasonic,
all the mobile players, and the old PC industry is sort of gone away, and we're starting to see this new mobile industry, and the players are all different, and it's not about horsepower and chips, it's about, you know, having small, very low power chips in sensors that go into your clothes and into your forks, into your plant pots,
into your potties,
exactly.
I think it's really interesting. Just the one thing I want to say is Ballmer did show up at Qualcomm and not Intel, but I also think it's interesting that like just shows how far Microsoft has declined. That like you know the CEO of Microsoft is now showing up like some sort of third. This is some sort of third-party player at other CEOs' keynotes instead of doing his own.
Right, being the big dog.
He's not the big dog anymore. Microsoft.
Yeah. Oh, he's the bomb dog.
There was someone mentioned an interesting thing. The bomb dog. He's
following me on Twitter. I just want to point that out.
Dude, I love shout out to bomb dog.
Someone showed me that Lumia phone last night, and I was really impressed with the thing.
Oh, the 920?
Oh, those are great.
Yeah.
Those
they are
great.
Good.
Beautiful
yeah.
phone.
Yeah, until you turn them on and look at the OS.
But she said, you know, the problem? No apps for it, right? No, yeah. There's no, she can't, you know, there's no games, there's no third-party apps. But someone said this morning, you know, that this Microsoft strategy of, like, being able to sort of, you can, to core developers, you know, they can write one code base and it'll run on a phone, a tablet, and a PC. So it's that old sort of Java, you know, write once, run anywhere.
Yeah, but that didn't work for Android. I mean, because they say that you can run all of your Android phone apps on your tablet, and they just look horrible because they just blow up.
Yeah, because all the different form factors.
Yeah, the best apps are designed for the thing that they run on.
Right.
Designing one to go on all three just means you're disappointed on all three.
Someone was saying that, you know, that Microsoft actually had a different take. I don't know if that's true. It's probably not. Huh?
Intel's been making, they're making smartphones now that, like, emulate Android pretty well. Like ARM-based Android programs on x86 chips.
But I think what Leander means is that the single Windows 8 thing will run on a phone, a tablet, and a PC, not cross-platform.
Well, I think that Windows 8's like the way that Windows 8 deals with these problems is inherently better thought out than the way that Android deals with bigger screen resolutions. Like Windows 8 has been designed, and Windows Phone before it was designed from the ground up. To kind of like when you know it's a very horizontal operating system, like, you know, it's something where you're constantly swiping left or right, like, and so the problem with Android is that nobody when they built it thought about how it was going to scale. Like, they just thought about in terms of these tiny little screens, and so a lot of this is just a kludge. But you know, Windows Phone and Windows 8 came along a lot later. And if you look at Windows 8, like, it's all on sort of all sorts of hardware.
Huh, that's interesting, because it's horizontal. It actually doesn't suffer from those problems so much.
It doesn't have as much, no.
Well, what I was, the point of this person's, the point of this person's point, Microsoft actually has all of these different, has a lot of assets that they haven't actually put into play yet. And of course, the biggest is Xbox. And being able to, like, they were saying, imagine in 18 months or in 2 years, when your phone is powerful enough to run Halo or Modern Warfare 2. And these things, you know, like in their opening weekends, they make more money than the biggest movies from Hollywood. And if you could put Modern Warfare, you know, onto a cell phone, onto a Windows cell phone.
Nobody would play it.
You don't think so?
No, that's marketeese. No one would play it on a cell phone. I mean, there's things that are great on an Xbox, and they're like, oh, well, if you like it on an Xbox, you're going to love it on your Windows phone. It's like, no, it doesn't translate.
You don't think it'll ever translate? What about to a Surface tablet, though? Or to, you know, no. some other Microsoft device?
I disagree with this.
Well, yeah, you don't play video games, and I do.
I do play video games.
You do?
Oh, I used to write for Kotaku.
Oh, I didn't know that. Hey, what's your Xbox Live ID? Yeah. Wait, actually, don't say it. Do you have an Xbox?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that about you.
I thought you only
John, gaming. You are the last person I would have ever guessed plays Xbox games.
No, I love gaming.
I thought I would you were spend a PC you, gamer more yeah. than Xbox.
You spend most of your free time with a bird on your shoulder.
Oh, bird in his mouth.
Yeah.
Maybe in your mouth. Bird in your mouth.
That's and a girl wriggling on my lap. Like, it's true.
Pipe in your hand. Yeah. So, can we move back to gadgets? Because we're talking a lot about Microsoft.
Well,
that's fine.
I thought we were actually having a good conversation about the meeting of CES. It was actually pretty apropos.
No, it was. It was great, yeah. Yeah, it was great, too. But I do want to hear gadgets.
That's
talk.
A big, big and best, right?
Well, if Charlie.
Biggest gadgets, best gadgets.
I have one, and I would like to hear Charlie's, too, because Charlie's, of course, our gadget editor and our reviews editor, and I really want to know
what my favorite gadget
as do I.
Or whatever. Like, I don't care. Like, you know,
your favorite booth, your favorite gadget. Just give me a favorite anything, Charlie.
My favorite party that we went to.
Oh, yeah.
Party. Who is that?
My favorite alarm.
My favorite iPhone alarm.
Favorite email.
My favorite gadget is the AeroPress I bought on Sunday.
No, and that thing is pretty cool, too.
What is an AeroPress?
That's actually mine, too.
It's a thing for making coffee. It's like an oversized syringe.
Yeah.
And you put the coffee and the water in there and squeeze it out through a filter and you get something that's like an espresso. And you can make it, you can use it in a few different ways, but that's it. And it just makes
Why is it better than a French press?
Because it pushes the stuff through a filter so you don't get all the grounds in there.
Yeah, French presses are very muddy. Like, they in fact, that thing I got you for Christmas, the Clever Coffee Dripper, uh-huh. That'll give you, like, a French press. It's a great medium thing. I know you don't understand what it's for, but it's like, it's...
Oh! Yeah. Ooh, that was really
hard. Well, you're British, you know.
No, it's true, though, right?
If you like
French press coffee, it gives you a really... It's like a French press style, like, robustness, but, like, a really... it gives you, the clarity... of a filtered coffee. Like, it's nice, and I promise you will like it, but that's the best gadget of CES. Like, you know, that clever
the one that's not here that I gave to Leander for Christmas before it came.
Can I tell you what my favorite thing I've seen so far?
Yeah, please.
Okay, just saw it today. It's called the Jamstick. Not going to be out until the end of the year. These guys weren't even showing it today. They were just like, called me up. They're like, can we...
Jamstick?
They were like, can we do this? Can we show it to you? I was like, yeah, that would be great. So we take a look at it, and I wasn't really expecting a lot, mm-hmm. but they pulled it out of a briefcase, and it's like this tiny, like, ukulele-style guitar that connects by Bluetooth to an iPad, and, it kind of interfaces with things like GarageBand on the iPad. So I have this friend named Rachel, and I never really understood GarageBand as anything besides like a novelty on the iPad.
Oh, really? It's really powerful.
But she's a musician. She's a professional musician. And like, I gave her my old iPad 2 when I got an iPad 3.
Just gave it to her?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, she
yeah, well, that's a bad
thing. Well, she's a struggling musician. And oh, okay. I'm really glad that I gave it to her because she honestly appreciated that more than anybody else I could give it to, right? She,
yeah.
But anyway, she uses GarageBand all the time. She's like, and she'll send me songs she wrote on it. And she'll be like, yeah, I was just out on the subway and like I had this inspiration and I sort of kind of like sketched out this song. Mm-hmm. And
It sounds like a bad indie movie.
Yeah, right. Mind the gap.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, like, this thing is like an interface to that. So you can play a physical instrument if you're a musician, but it's very portable. It's very portable, and you play it.
Does it have six strings on it?
Yeah, yeah. It's fret, working frets, everything.
Wow.
It's really,
yeah, it does sound cool, yeah.
And not only that, it can interface with anything. So,
so called the Jamstick.
Yeah, well, it's not out yet.
Yeah, but I might be able to find a picture for someone.
Okay.
Right? I wouldn't Google that if I were you.
Yeah, no. Warning.
It's called Creamstick. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Urban Dictionary is a top hit. Anyway, probably shouldn't read that.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
But it also does other things. Like, you can play it, if you're not a musician, you can use it, like, to learn guitar.
So does it actually, it makes acoustic noise? Oh, right. It's not just like an electrical
No, it plays through the iPad, uses MIDI. Okay. So it plays through the iPad, but there are 400 MIDI controlled apps on the App Store, and they envision it for a bunch of stuff. Like, not only can it do not only can you play guitar GarageBand with it, but you can learn how to play guitar with it. You can
shove it in his face.
You can do Guitar Hero like games with like a real guitar. Like,
yeah, that is cool.
And I'm not really doing it. I'm gonna write a post on it tonight. I was super psyched about
when
it.
When are they releasing it?
They're recently in Q3, Q4.
And how much is it going to cost?
They were saying $299, where I was like, whoa.
That doesn't sound too bad for an instrument. I mean, that doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking at, like, they have a lot of use case scenarios, but one they're really thinking about is, like, selling it to musicians so that they can actually use this device on their iPad to knock out real songs. Like, the guy played me songs that he'd written on this. And you can also, like... you can also play any instrument in GarageBand on it. So you could use this guitar to play the piano or whatever and have like a real tactile instrument experience. I thought it was fantastic.
Mine's a little more common. So every time I come to CES, I realize that I need a new television. So I'm going to eat some crow here because I saw those Samsung televisions that Buster, you posted about.
You liked those hockey goal televisions?
Oh, dude, yeah, I really did. Those Samsung televisions. So Buster did this post about these televisions that Samsung released this year, and they come integrated into like this stand. Woo, woo, woo. Are you doing a police noise with your finger in the air? What is that? You're whirling it around in the air. I love misinterpreting your hand signals. So, Buster, what was special about this TV? Because the picture quality on these things were phenomenal.
Well, it's a 4K TV.
So, oh, they were 4K.
Yeah, that's why it looks phenomenal. So you can't have it because you don't have any content to put on your 4K
no,
TV.
No, I don't. Okay, well, that's why they look so good. Because I actually saw Sharp had an 85-inch 8K television. If you follow me on Instagram, I posted a picture of it. And the 8K television, it was cool. Then I got closer to it, and I was like, this actually doesn't look that great. But those Samsung 4K televisions looked amazing. Mm. And I actually did like the design of them, too. So that would be
doesn't
my pick.
Doesn't a regular 1080p TV look amazing?
No. I don't know. I'm starting to see it. Like, when I was walking the show floor and I was seeing 1080p things. I mean, it all depends on how far away you are from your television. But I'm starting to notice the difference. Like, I do think 4K's... Like, 3D never happened. I think 4K is going to happen.
3D was such a gimmick. And they're still showing 3D televisions. But the funny thing is they're really not... You didn't see that many of them this year. They were everywhere last year. It's like every place you went. It was like 3D television built into your television or into your refrigerator. There's a toaster with a 3D television built in. And now it's like they're
it.
Gone.
It makes you feel sick.
You know what's going to happen, I bet, when 4K comes out.
You got to wear glasses.
I bet 4K comes out,
well,
they're going to introduce
3D. Did you see
3D
the one at Showstoppers where they didn't have to wear glasses?
Did it work?
Yeah, I saw that.
They had one at the right at the very back of the hall, really big TV, and you walked by it, and it really, you know, was... It really popped things out, but it also had real depth. And it almost had parallax, but not quite. It
well, you have to be at the right, just the right.
Yeah,
you stand there. But it was an amazingly eye-grabbing illusion because you didn't have any glasses on. You know, you walk by this TV and it's very three-dimensional.
It just seems like a distraction from a story. It's like for a kid's cartoon or something, or like an action-y thing, it could be fun. But for a movie, which is telling a story.
Avatar, I think, maybe was the one and only... one I've seen, mainly because of those environments they created, right? And they were good because you were looking down into a picture, not because they came out.
Well, 3D's a weird problem. Like,
First of all, a lot of people actually can't see 3D in these scenarios. Like, it's
even with the glasses on.
Yeah. Well, their brain, for example, like, my girlfriend Brittany,
yeah,
can't see 3D. Like, if you put those glasses on, I mean, it's just a muddy image. And there's a lot of people like this. There was an article I read a few years ago about it. It's something like 15 or 20% of people, which is like huge. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And then. Well, I guess the thing when I'm watching 3D is my eyes try to, like, something will be blurry, it'll be in the foreground or the background, and it won't be in focus, and my eye will try to focus on it, and it can't, because, you know, you don't have control over that. Yeah. So the 3D tricks your eye into, so my eyes get very tired trying to focus on things and not being able to.
Well, what it is because your eyes, your brain thinks your eyes are, your eyes are a certain distance apart, and that's how it perceives 3D.
Your brain
and
thinks they are.
But one of the tricks is that it thinks they are. One of the tricks with 3D is, one of the things they can change is especially with the computer animated stuff, is the, like, where the virtual eyes would be, and say you're looking at a grasshopper that's in front of you, okay, your eyes are quite far apart as you look at it compared to the size of it. If that's a giant grasshopper, then your eyes are very close together in comparison to the size of the grasshopper, right? So they use this to play with scale. And it's come really. This is one of the big things that causes the headaches in 3D.
Oh, because you look at these objects; they're much larger. They're too large to really sort of see in 3D.
It's because to make something look like it's giant on the screen, then you would move the virtual 3D cameras like closer together in relation to it, so it actually makes it feel like it's a bigger thing, even though it's the same size on the screen.
Right.
You can make it. It's a similar. I mean, it doesn't work in the same way at all. But, you know, it's that, like, the tilt shift effect. You up the contrast and you make a bit of it blurred and it looks like it's tiny. Mm-hmm. So it's a brain trick, but it can cause all sorts of troubles with your headache.
I just have drugs that do that.
I just have one thought, and it's really quick. Can you imagine how awesome when those Lytros are going to be when they can do 3D? Like, and you can, like, walk, like...
That would be cool, yeah. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
And then they actually might be something I would purchase.
Yeah.
We'll probably never have to leave the house.
Yeah.
That'd be cool with me. I really rarely leave anyway. Any final thoughts on the show? We got to wrap up here so we can head to our greet up, actually, which is going to be at
Cosmopolitan.
The Cosmopolitan, the hotel, for some reason, I cannot remember the name of. And we're going to be hanging out with the 10 men, I'm sure, that will show up. Leander, what were you going to say?
Well, by the time you hear this, it'll all be over. So
that's okay.
We hope to see you there.
We hope to see you there.
Hey,
it was great seeing you guys there.
Thanks, guys. Yeah,
Hey, John, it was really cool seeing you there. Mike,
Charlie, we had a great time, guys. Yeah.
Well, Leander's been drinking Stella Artois, so we know he's going to fight at least one person tonight.
I've got my wife beater on. I'm going to chin everybody that comes
in the door. And for everyone wondering that's been following the Cultimac Instagram account, the app that we're using is called Nudifier. It was a fave and rave pick like a month or two ago. I think Buster introduced it. And we knew there was going to be a theme. We always try to have a theme going into CES of pictures that we're taking. And that one was created pretty quickly as soon as we got here.
Yeah.
And we've kept it going the whole time. Yes, it is juvenile, but isn't it hilarious? Totally nudified.
Oh, yeah.
The new editor-in-chief of Wired.
So we're headed to the Wired party after the...
we're going
to
take a look at Scott Stadich.
Oh, my God. Yeah, totally.
Anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening all week. I know we had some weird audio issues for the beginning shows, but Buster. Leander, stop shaking your hand at me. All I hear is your watch.
Hurry up. Let's go party.
Hey, make sure you catch us on Twitter. John is Dr. Kipt. Charlie is Mr. Charlie. Buster is BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. I'm at Airfawn. And, of course, for all the best news and reviews and how-tos in the world of Apple, follow Cult of Mac. Everyone's getting their drinks and getting ready to leave here. And we'll be back for another episode next week, as usual. We will not have a new episode tomorrow, which is Thursday, unless you're in the UK, actually. It might already be Thursday. Thanks for listening. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. We will see you guys next week. Until then. John, are you into metal? I'm surprised that you play video games.
Oh, really?
You had me put my foot in my mouth there. You had me put my foot in my mouth. And I'm pretty pissed
pretty
about that.
Better than the duck in your mouth, right?
I don't like having anything in my mouth. And you made me put my foot in there.